Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. Feels good here today in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm glad to see Sister Lana back today after her recovery from her surgery. She looks good. Amen. Saved your seat back there. People wanted it. We fought them off. It's for Sister Lana. Good to see Tracy here today. Love you, brother. Good to see you today. And Elizabeth is here. Is that your name? Elizabeth, I thought it was. We're so glad you're here today, too. We are looking at verse number 10 in Ephesians chapter 6. All of our guests, we are so thankful you're here. But all of the rest of you, I'm so glad you're here, too. Amen. You look good. You smell good. You sound good. Amen. Shake hands good. Finally, my brethren, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Go down to verse 13, if you would. Wherefore, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Thank you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord today. Well, I was going to bring with me one of my dumbbell weights, but I went off and forgot it, so I need to find something up here that I can use as a prop. And you know what? We'll just use this stool right here. It'll work just fine. Now, there are people, maybe even in this room, maybe not in this room, but there are people in this building today who, if I said lift this stool with one hand, could not lift this stool with one hand. The reasons would vary. Some of them would just be too young. Babies can't do that. Maybe some of the toddlers probably, I'm sure, can't do that. The farther we go down on the stool, the harder it would be. Let's see if I can do this. Hey, look at that. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody in this room can hold it there on the end because of the weight shift. But some of them are too small. Would you agree? Some are too young. Some are too old. Right? Some may be disabled. Some may have injuries. There's a whole plethora of reasons why many people cannot follow my request of lift this stool. And then even if they can get it up, you know, off the floor, if we started saying, now, lift it above your head 20 times. Some couldn't do that. Some could. We keep up in the number 30 times, 40 times, 50 times. Or just hold it out there, right? And what happens is some can do it, follow the simple request of doing it. Others cannot. But if I were to, if I had Chad come up here and I had him hold, because we got two up here. You want to do this with Chad and sister? You look like you'd like to. I'm really just trying to arrest everybody's attention right now. That's all I'm doing, trying to get everybody's attention in the building. I'm not going to have anybody come up here and be goofy. But I could, you know, I say, Chad, hold this out like that. Give Sister Gunderman identical stool. Say, you hold it out just like that. See who can last the longest. Who you think would win? Yeah, right. She looks tough, but she's not as tough as our third baseman on our softball team. What would happen is if we had a line of people, some would start weakening and they would give up faster. Others would be able to hold it up there just a little bit longer, maybe all day long. It's just what it all boils down to, really. It's not just age, it's not just size, it's not just injuries, but it boils down to strength versus weakness. Whatever the reason for the weakness, it's still going to bring about the same result, and that is you simply cannot bear what is put upon you if you're weak. If you're strong, you know, if you go to the hospital with a sickness and they say, look, you're going to have surgery, you're going to have a long recovery. How many of you know you're better off if you go into the hospital already halfway healthy halfway strong rather than going in anemic and weak and frail and having to go through all of that sickness and surgery and recovery when you're already weak. It's just there's just something about the strength there that gives you stamina in order to recover. Now, Paul tells us here that we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Let me start here and just tell you, I'm not talking about your strength today. I'm talking about the strength of the Lord. And I'm not talking about your might. I'm talking about His might. And we're going to make it in these evil days and in these last days. We will make it, not because we are anything, but because our God is something. Not because we are strong, but because our God is strong. Paul tells us in another writing, he says that you're going to make it if you'll learn to, he says, walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Those who walk after the Spirit are going to be strong and going to walk mightily before the Lord. But those who walk after the flesh, and then he begins to enumerate for us all of the works of the flesh. He goes into quite a list there. We won't read them today, but it's quite a list of the works of the flesh. Just sinful things, filthy things, carnal things, ungodly things. And then he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. And he begins to name all the wonderful fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Those are things that are manifest when we walk, and it depends on what we walk after, the flesh or the Spirit. The simple fact of the matter is, and this is true in any aspect of life, that your strength is not just about longevity, because I already said, some people cannot lift this stool just because they're young. My grandsons, probably none of my grandsons, well, Mason might be able to do it now, but I know my I know Lennox and Lyndon wouldn't be able to lift this stool, right? But how many know that just because they live to a certain age doesn't mean that they're going to automatically become as strong as Chad Kaufman someday? Just because they live to be as old as Chad doesn't mean they'll automatically be as strong as Chad. Because age and longevity doesn't necessarily equal strength. There's some other things that go along with strength. You walk into a gym where there's weights, and you're going to see some people, bench pressing hundreds and hundreds of pounds maybe, and then other people just over there barely getting, all they got's the bar, 45-pound bar, just all they can do to get that. Well, what's the difference there? They may be the same age, they may be the same height, they may have the same body build, but somebody's been in there a lot longer, not just living longer, but they've been working at it a lot longer. They've been in there, they started out with the bar, and then they got a little stronger, and then they added some plates. They begin to add weight, and pretty soon, so that guy lifting 300, bench pressing 300 pounds didn't start out with 300 pounds. He started out with the bar just like everybody else did. And he got stronger as he lifted that. And the Lord tells us he's not going to put more on you than you're able to bear. But hear me, that doesn't mean God's following you along for 30 years saying, well, I understand, Brother Bunch, you've been serving me for 50 years, but you're still just barely bench pressing the bar. So I'm not going to put any more on it. What he does, he puts, see, if you and God had a conversation about your abilities, about what you're able to bear, you would differ in your opinions. Because God sees what you can do from the inside out. And God knows what's in you because He put you together. He made you while you were still in the womb. He was forming and fashioning you. He put you together, body, soul, spirit, mind, heart. He put it all together. He knows what's in you. And so He knows not only what's in you, but He knows what you're capable of with His help. And so you say, Lord, you're putting more on me than I can bear. You don't understand. Those guys in the gym that are bench pressing 300 pounds, they didn't start at 300 pounds, but they got, maybe they got 100, and then they got 150. Are there any weightlifters in the, anybody that lifts? Do you lift weights? You used to lift weights? Good, you're going to play really into this sermon real well here in a few minutes. Perfect, stay right there, don't leave. But you know what I'm talking about? You when you lift weights, if you're going to increase your weight, there's going to be some grunting involved. You can't go to the gym where I go down there at Planet Fitness because they kick grunters out. They got an alarm on the wall. They kick you out. They just want us people that are just in there trying to maintain. But if you're going to get stronger, there's going to be times where you feel like you can't do this. And if you're really into it, you'll have a spotter, somebody standing there at the head of the bench. They're there just in case you do get to the point where you can't get that pushed up. They'll help you just a little bit. A good spotter knows they don't just grab the bar. They just lift a little finger, just give you a little bit of help. Because what you need to do is use your power, your strength. And you get that. It's that one last rep. That one last rep in that last set where you just barely can get over the crest, where you don't think you can do it, and they put a finger, then they say, you can do it. And a good spotter will go, come on, push, push, push. This is all you. Come on, you can do this. You got this. Come on. And they'll make you almost mad standing over you, spitting in your face. Come on. Yeah. And you just, and that last rep that you didn't think you could do, but somebody encouraged you through it, that last rep, they say, is where it's all at. That's where you increased your strength and your muscles broke down on that last set and that last rep. Your muscles broke down. And then they start, you go home and you start drinking your shakes or whatever you do, and you eat your protein and it goes into your body. Is everybody ready to go work out today when I close the service? Everybody's like, I can't wait to go lift weights today. I'm not preaching about lifting weights. I hope when you leave here today, you'll go find a prayer closet somewhere. Amen. But it's that your body starts regenerating and your muscles say, wow, if he's going to do that to us, then we got to come back a little bit stronger, a little denser, a little bit bigger. And pretty soon these pectoral muscles in your chest, because when you bench press, that's what you're using, they'll start building. You'll start looking. You look in the mirror. Some of you men don't tell anybody, but you look in the mirror. Mm-hmm, look at that. Yeah, buddy. Definition. Yeah, I'm getting ripped. We say things like that to ourselves. You don't know that we do that. But what happens is because the muscles come back stronger, more defined, a little bit bigger. And that muscle, by the way, starts burning more fat. It's a good thing. It really is. Lifting weights is a good thing. But God says, I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear. And we say, God, I can't bear this. And he's the spotter saying, yes, you can do it. Come on. And God will come along and he'll give you just what you need to get you just over that little threshold that by yourself, no, by yourself. But God says, I know what you can do with my help. And I know I don't want you 30 years from now, Brother Bunch, getting upset and falling and fumbling over the same junk that you were 30 years ago. And so in order for you to get stronger, I remember a man years ago called me. He was so dismayed, so upset. He needed a pastor's word. He said, Brother Hawkins, I have been praying for the Lord to give me patience. Some of you remember this story. I've been praying the Lord give me patience. I don't understand the day I've had. My car broke down, and then this happened, and this happened, and then so-and-so called, and this was going wrong. He said, then to top it all off, I'm in my bathroom floor working on my plumbing, and it just all over me. And I don't know. I asked for patience, but I don't feel any patience. I said, you don't understand what you asked for. That's like asking for pectoral muscles and expecting God to just, poof, there they are, yeah. No, it doesn't work that way. You go to any good trainer and they'll say, you want to define your chest? Lay down on that bench right there. Here, lift that. Keep lifting until you can't lift anymore. All right, have a good day. See you in a few days. Come back and they'll put more on there. And more on there. And a good trainer knows what you can bear. And a good God knows what you can bear. But he don't want you to stay where you've been for 30 years. He wants you to come back next week a little stronger. And the next month a little stronger. And pretty soon, come on somebody, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are in an evil day. We are living in the last days. This world is falling apart. And if you're going to make it, you better get under the weight of the Spirit and walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. We need to spend more time in the prayer room. We need to spend more time fasting before our God, more time in the Word of God. I want to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Come on, if you believe that, shout amen, somebody. The only way to get stronger is to go through some things. You'll never get stronger if you don't go through some things. And you got to go through them properly. Amen. You can't be one of these people that go into the gym, pour it on, do everything, every machine in the whole place, throw more weight. First time you ever worked out in 20 years, you'll never come back. You'll barely be able to get out of bed the next morning. Right? I've seen that before too. People coming into the church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to fast for 3 months. I'm going to pray all the time. I'm not going to read anything but the Bible. Not going to do anything but go to church. Careful. I appreciate and I understand your zeal. Amen. But we still, how many know you got to have that money to eat? When you do come off your 3 month fast, you're going to have to eat. And your family has to survive. And so you got to go to work to get the money to pay for the stuff. That's just part of life. Amen. And I guarantee you coming into the church and just closing your eyes and folding your hands, saying, no, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you. I'm in prayer. I do nothing when I come to church. Well, that's not biblical either. I don't know what's going on with anybody else because I'm always in prayer. That's not biblical. And you're going to burn out. And you're going to get sore. And you're going to say, I don't know if I can do that. You can't do that. Moderation in all things. Use wisdom in all things. Amen. So God wants us to get stronger, yes. But we do that by walking after the Spirit. It is a spiritual walk every day of our lives. Prayer, fasting, Bible reading, faithfulness to the house of God, sensitivity to the Spirit of the Lord, living by faith, walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And the simple fact of the matter is, it's not just about longevity. It's not just about age. It's not just about how long you've been in the church. But what it comes down to is what you exercise, that's what gets stronger. Amen? Time alone doesn't increase strength necessarily. Yeah, those babies, they're going to get to a point where they can lift more than they can now, but they'll reach a plateau where if they don't do something, they'll never get any stronger than they are. At 12 years old or 15 years old, they'll plateau. Amen. A younger man may lift more than an older man because he exercises and the older man doesn't. And so what we, now catch what I'm saying here, what we use, what we work, what we exercise, what we feed, becomes stronger. You with me? If you use spiritual concepts, if you work spiritual biblical principles into your life, if you exercise spiritual things like faith, if you feed your spirit, it will become stronger. You will be mighty in the Lord. You will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But the same is true when I say what we ignore, what we neglect, what we forget, what we starve becomes weak. And I'm going to tell you that the key to being spiritually strong. And this is just Bible, folks. I'm not up here saying, look at me, I'm the perfect example. I'm just like you. I'm learning this. I'm working this. I'm trying to get this in my life. But it's a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle. If Paul struggled, I'm just going to tell you, we're going to struggle. And Paul said, I found this constant warring in my members between the spirit and the flesh. Amen. And this is how you're going to be spiritually strong. Whatever you feed, exercise, work, gets stronger. Whatever you starve, gets weaker. That's the whole concept of fasting, by the way. Fasting is not about you swapping a few meals, making a deal with God. Lord, I'll give up these meals. Maybe you'll hear me. Not at all. Fasting is about you're starving your carnal man, bringing it under subjection, bringing it under control, And while you're doing that, you don't just go without eating. You spend that time you're normally eating, go find some place and pray. And so rather than you're starving your physical man, but you're feeding your spiritual man. That's what fasting is all about. Afflicting your soul, afflicting your body, afflicting yourself so that in the spirit you become stronger. We doing okay? Now, I feel like the Lord spoke to me and gave me this word. Now, are we not in a messed up time? There are people who are United States citizens who are worried about nuclear attack right now. They are worried that even if a missile can't hit us where we are, there's nuclear fallout from a war, from a nuclear bomb. If a nuclear bomb explodes at the right altitude, there's an electromagnetic effect. Have you ever considered what would happen? I'm not trying to cast fear on you. I'm trying to remind you that this world is not where our strength lies anyway. Have you considered in 2017 what would happen right now if all of our grids just went dead? All of our electricity was gone. If we couldn't communicate, pick up the telephone and call and say, are you okay? Some of you go crazy just because you couldn't check on your babies. You couldn't get online and text, and you couldn't get online. You didn't know what was going on. You Facebook-aholics couldn't get on there and see what everybody in the world's eating today and what they're wearing today and where they're going today. And if you couldn't, or if you couldn't get on there and say, is everybody okay? And you didn't know what was going on. If this world right now, we had no Wi-Fi, we had no internet, we had no telephone, we had no cell phone service, bam. Can you imagine this world? The chaos that would be if they couldn't pull your record. You go to the doctor today to find out what's wrong with you. What do they do? First thing they do, your name, your date of birth, type, there you are. Everything about you is on that screen. There's no paper. If they go digging for paper, if they do find it, they got to go back to 1956. That's probably where they stopped taking paper notes on you. But somebody went along and entered that all into that computer, threw the paper away, burned it so we got more space, and you know. But so no wonder the world's nervous, because they put all their eggs in this basket. Now you folks, I'm talking to some of you in this room today, putting your eggs in the wrong basket, hoping that this works out and that works out, this works out and that works out. You've not been praying like you should. You haven't really been spending time with the Lord like you should. You haven't really been committing your life to God like you should. Now listen, I didn't come to patty cake today. I came with a word from the Lord. And I feel like the Lord told me this. I wrote it down because I wanted to get it right. And I feel like the Lord said, if the church is to become ineffective, if we do become ineffective, it will not be due to a doctrine problem, because we love the doctrine. We believe the doctrine. And he said, if the church becomes ineffective, it will not be a praise problem even, because we love to praise the Lord. The Lord said, if my church becomes ineffective in these last days, it will be an atrophy problem. Now, atrophy simply means a gradual decline. And the Lord gave me that word. I wasn't reading the dictionary and the Lord gave me that word. The Lord gave me that word. I had to go to the dictionary and make sure I understood exactly what are you talking about, Lord. And this is what atrophy means. A gradual decline in effectiveness. Now, I'm telling you, the Lord gave me that word. If my church becomes ineffective. And then I went and looked up the word atrophy. And it means a gradual decline in effectiveness or vigor due to, hear me, underuse or neglect. Underuse or neglect. Now, Brother Chad confessed that he used to lift weights. I don't know what took you away from lifting weights. I suspect you probably did that before you had a wife and handful of kids. back in those days when it could be more about you, right? But we reach a point in our life where it can't be all about us. Because if you look at your wife who's holding a baby here, pushing a baby over here, trying to warm up a bottle for baby number three, and say, I'm off to the gym, you probably better work out real hard. Because when you come back, amen? So my guess would be that today, I may be wrong, but I would almost guarantee that if you were to go back into the gym today, you cannot lift the same amount of times that you did when you were really into working out. Am I? Not even close, he says. And that's not because he's not an old man. He's in prime of his life. It's not because he lost the knowledge of how to do it. There's muscle memory there. He could go lay back down on that bench. It all comes back to you, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, that leather on the bench and that metal iron in your hands. You know, oh, yeah, it comes back to you. The muscle memory's there. But if he laid down, what were you? What could you bench press back in the day? Do you remember?
6 or 7 years ago, I did 245 10 times.
Wow. So 245 10 times. Okay. He has pushed 307 pounds four times at one point in his life. But if I had a bench press right here right now and I put 307 pounds on the bar and I invited him to lay down, he's already saying, I won't even bother getting out of my seat. What's changed? He just stopped going. He stopped doing that. And so it doesn't matter that it's still here. He'd know what to do. And it wouldn't even matter if he had all the enthusiasm in the world. I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter. He's neglected those muscles that are involved in pushing 307 pounds off of his chest. They've been neglected for years. You could put a healthy man in a bed, lay him in that bed, and he can lay there. Nothing be wrong with him at all. But you make him lay in that bed for a year. You can keep feeding him. That's fine. We'll feed him. Just don't let him get out of bed. And then a year from now, say, all right, run for it. It's called atrophy, muscular atrophy, because what you don't use, you lose. And I feel like God told me that. You better remind my church that if you don't use it, you will lose it, and it doesn't matter what you used to do. I would love to have seen you bench pressing 307 pounds, brother, but I don't even want to see you attempt to do it today. I'm sorry, because you didn't use it, you've lost it. How many know he could get it back? Because it's still there. And he's still physically able. But he has to go after it. If I said, Brother Chad, I'm going to give you $5,000. The minute I can see you bench press 307 pounds four times, I got five. Did I say 5,000? I've got five. 10,000. Oh, was it 10,000? Okay. I'm going to have to go back and check the tape on that one. He might be motivated, but he's not going to go grab 307 pounds today. He's going to go and say, okay, what can I do 10 times? Three sets of 10. And then he's going to start, next week I'll do more, and the next week I'll do more, and the next week I'll do more, and the next week, and I might even slip a rest in there somewhere, and then I'm going to be doing more. And pretty soon, I guarantee you, if $10,000 was at stake, Sister Jenny would be saying, I got the kids, go ahead and go to the gym. Come on, somebody. Amen. You don't use it, you lose it. Second Chronicles, bring it up if you would. Second Chronicles 7, go to verse 12. I'm almost finished. This is where Solomon's dedicating the temple. They've prayed, they've dedicated, they've offered sacrifices. And he says, Lord, would you make this your home? Would you make this your place? Would you make this a place where we can pray? If we fail you, he puts this contingency in his prayer. It's an interesting prayer. He knows humanity enough to say, God, today we're really fired up today, Lord. But if we were to ever fail you, and if you were to send judgment, and if you did all these things to us that caused us to go into judgment, Lord, if that happens, would you also make this a place where we could come back to you? And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now you say, why would any of that happen? Well, you'd have to go back earlier and read. But basically this is basically it. If a praying people stop praying, if a faithful people stop being faithful, if a spiritual people cease to be spiritual, it creates a vacuum. Now, I would help some of you if you'd let me this morning. I would help you understand some things in your life. Sitting around shaking your fist at the Lord saying, how could you do this to me? God didn't do anything to you. Every gift from the Lord is good. But you can create a vacuum in your life that brings in. Did you know that even God's judgment is in love? Even his correction is in love. His reprimands are done in love, not hate. Amen? But when I'm walking uprightly before the Lord and he's directing my steps, the movement of God in my life is blessing and abundance and answered prayer. And you know what I'm talking about. But when I step out of those things, out of walking uprightly before the Lord, doesn't mean God stops moving. It just feels different. Amen. Come on now. The same, if I'm out on the water and I want my boat to move, I put the sail up and I appreciate the wind. I'm in the right place doing the right thing, got the right mechanisms in place, and I appreciate the wind. But if I'm up in a tree, way up in a tree, barely hanging on for my life, that same wind feels a lot different to the man in the tree than it does the man in the boat. Because they're in two different places. Same wind, different places. It depends on where we are with God. Come on now. So when I'm walking uprightly before the Lord, the movement of the Lord in my life feels good. Blessings, answered prayer, abundance. Ooh, you know what I'm talking about. Ooh, Lord. Even if I'm going through the valley, as long as I'm walking right before God, I'm prayed up like I need to be. I'm in the Word of God. Even when I'm going through the valleys of life, there's just something there. I notice that he's the lily of the valley when I'm doing right before the Lord. I know that he's my shepherd in the valley, and I will not fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that I'm walking with my shepherd. But when we step out of God's place, God's will, God's word, we neglect to pray, scriptures, faith, fasting, living before God. When we neglect those things, what you don't use, you will lose. Are you walking after the Spirit or are you walking after the flesh? It boils down to that. And whatever you're walking after, that's what will become strong. Amen? Can I just get personal? Can I just tell you? Let me just use this as an example. If you're a real Christian, You're not going to know every rap song. If you're, you see, Brother Hawkins, that's judgmental. No, don't go there with me. Don't go there with me, because I got scripture that says you'll know them by their fruit. Okay? If you're really walking with God, you don't know every filthy sitcom on TV and every foul-mouthed series that's on Netflix. Not when you're walking before God. Because you cannot feed your spirit and your flesh. One of them is going to get stronger. Come on, somebody. And I'm sorry, listen, I know we're all human and we all struggle and we're all wrestling, but you cannot effectively sit there before your television and watch 2 hours full of cuss words and sexual stuff going on and all kinds of filth and then go into a good prayer meeting with God and get victory in your life. That carnal man gets too strong on you. You've been there. Where there's a tipping point where the carnal gets just enough muscle built up where he starts telling you what to do. You'll reach that point where you say, well, it's time to go pray. But the carnal man, you just put him over the edge. That last rep, that last F-bomb on that last show you watched was that just enough of a rep that your flesh got just strong enough where he said, you know, it won't hurt to skip today's prayer meeting. And you really don't have time to read the Bible today, and you really don't have time to spend time with God today. You don't have to give yourself away, but I know I'm preaching to more than one or two. We've been there where I'm not saying all of you watch filth. I don't mean that. I'm just saying we can let the carnal, it just comes in. And we feed the carnal man. And folks, you don't have to go looking for a carnal buffet. It caters to you. The devil got food trucks, man. And he follows you around. You just go to work, and there it's in your face. You just try to listen to the news. It's in your face. You just try to go to Facebook just because you want to see the pictures of your family. But there it is, junk in your face. And so you got to learn. We got to learn to starve that junk out. And get back to feeding the spiritual man. Because if you don't use it, you'll lose it. And I really do feel like the Lord told me, if my church has an effectiveness problem in these last days, it will simply be from atrophy. They will simply try to get out of bed one day when they haven't done it for a year, and their legs won't work. Trying to take authority. Listen, don't wait till you see the Antichrist on the scene. If we're still here for that, don't wait till you see people start taking the mark and all of a sudden you say, you know what, I'm going to get prayed up because I don't want to take the mark of the beast. You don't know what you're going to do if you're not prayed up. You better be walking after the spirit, not after the flesh. You better be getting some spiritual reps in and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Devil, whatever you throw at me today, if God lets it come my way, I know I can take it. Because you got to go through my God first. And you may not have seen me yesterday, but I was in my prayer closet. And you may not have been paying attention, but in prayer, I grunted through one more rep. I absolutely refuse to be an apostolic Pentecostal preacher that used to pray. I know that's what the devil wants, and my flesh would be okay with it, but I refuse. I just want to go on record as saying, I refuse to be an apostolic Pentecostal man of God that used to study the Word of God. Come on. I used to be a worshiper. I used to be on fire. I used to have some bounce in my step. I used to come to church and worship the Lord and be engaged and be powerful and be my, I don't want to be anything in the Lord. I want to, listen, if you're going to make it, it's going to be because you got in that spiritual gym today and you worked it out today. You used your faith today. You exercised your prayer bones today. You spoke to God today. And if you ever stop using it, church, you will lose it. But I'm here to say you don't have to lose anything. You can march on in the Lord. You can become strong in the Lord and mighty in the Lord. Come on, somebody, if you believe what I'm telling you is true, clap your hands to the Lord. Give the Lord a shout, even if you don't feel like it. Give him praise. Even if your flesh tries to hold you back, bust through and go ahead and give the Lord praise right now. God, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your might. I thank you, God, for the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Jesus, that you'll see me through anything, God, that comes my way. And the Lord said to his people, if these things come your way, if I shut up heaven, if I send pestilence, if I do any of these things, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You know what that means? You got to crucify your will. Crucify your humanity that you've allowed to rise up. That's what pride really is. The opposite of humility or being humble is pride. And pride is nothing more than your flesh getting so strong it just takes over. Ain't nobody gonna tell me nothing. I don't need to pray. I don't have to pray. I don't have time to pray. I'm going to work this out. My pride. And God said, the first thing you're going to have to do is say, Chad, I got to get back in there. And I got to lay. Now listen, a man who's bench pressed 304 pounds, if he's going to get back to 304 pounds, is going to have to humble himself and say, I can't do that anymore. I'm going to have to start here. I don't know a lot about Chad's pride level, but I'd say he'd be a little embarrassed to lay in the gym in front of everybody just bench pressing a 45 pound bar. He might even be embarrassed with a couple of 45 pound plates on there if some of his old buddies were in there that used to say, come on, you got this 304, come on, and he's in there doing 150 pounds. But if you're going to get back to 304, you got to start back it up. You got to start where you are. You're going to have to humble yourself and say, God, I'm not where I used to be, but I sure do want to be there. Now, here's the good news. This whole spiritual thing, it's not just like the gym. Because a gym is unforgiving. If you've been eating Twinkies for 6 months at the gym, you don't walk into the gym and it says, oh, forget about all those Twinkies. Boom, you're whole. But our God, been saying bad words, you've been telling lies, you've been thinking unwholesome thoughts, you've been caught up in this and you've been caught up in that, and here's the way God says. God doesn't say, well, dude, give me 50 reps. God says, repent. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. I'm going to add this word. I'm not trying to add to the scripture, but it's what the Lord is saying, that immediately he's going to hear you. I'm not saying that in one prayer session you're going to be back where you were with the Lord 30 years ago when you haven't prayed. I'm just simply saying God's going to accept you right where you are. And he's going to say, come on, here. Here's a bar. Start praying. Start believing. Listen to me, church. If all you can do today is get back to service tonight, do that. Grunt through it. Push through it. Fight through it. Get one more rep. But I'm telling you, every time you take a step, God's going to take two. And you'll be stronger. You'll be mighty in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you'll humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Wow. President Trump, if you ever see this broadcast, know what we need. Not another tweet. Tough words are okay, but that's not exactly what we need. What we need is somebody to stand in our White House and say, America, you need to turn back to God. If you'll humble yourself and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, stop killing each other, stop hating each other. Come on. And pray to God. Seek the face of the Lord. He will heal our land. Amen. You want to be strong in the Lord? Get back where you need to be. The Lord spoke to the seven churches, and he said to the church of Ephesus, look, you got all this stuff going on. You're doing all these things right, but I have somewhat against thee that you have left your first love. You've neglected those things that you used to do. I'll tell you something that'll break down a marriage is when a husband or a wife stops doing the things that they used to do for each other. You won't get any kudos from your wife because you used to give her a birthday card. I used to remember her anniversary. I used to tell you I love you. I used to treat you good like a queen. What's that old carnal song say? What have you done for me lately? Huh? That's why I think that's a song. I don't know. Yes, sister, I was looking for the carnal person. She's got it right here. Yes, brother. 1968. That really is life. That is really, it doesn't matter what you used to do. And God says, look, you won't have revival because you used to pray. You won't have revival because you used to fast. You won't have revival in these last days because you used to be on fire. What do you say we get back to the prayer room? What do you say, church, we run back to the altar? What do you say we get back to our fasting? What do you say we start starving out the flesh and start feeding the spirit? I want to be on fire for God, don't you? Come on, let's find us a place today. Would you come to this altar? Would you find a place to pray today? Would you talk to Jesus? Come on, talk to the Lord today. Musicians, would you come help us this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm